Space. I am Kim Crawl. Hi, I'm reporting to you not live from outside of my closet. Hi, everyone. Hi. Have you noticed in the last few weeks I haven't been adjusting my microphone like right away and getting really mad because I'm just leaving it where it's at. I'm just like when I'm done, I just pull it back and that way I don't have to get mad at an inanimate object. Again. Hi. I feel like I have a lot to talk about today. A whole lot to talk about today. Let's first thing first, there will not be a guest like I had anticipated the last episode of the month. We will start that hopefully in October. I'm going to level with you. I was in San Francisco the week that I was going to reach out and like get all that ready, and I don't know how any of this is going to come out. So I'm going to do my best. I got on the plane to San Francisco and I think it was like right when I was recording this. I don't know what day it is. Honestly, I don't know what's happening ever. I read a tweet that there was like a kid that was like, I don't know what's happening ever. I'm confused all the time. And the teacher was like, same kid. But I don't remember where I think I was hot. I think I recorded this. Yes, I did. Yes, because I posted. I definitely recorded this before Charlie Kirk. So yeah, I hopped on a plane, and right as we were taking off, the news broke that he was shot in the neck, and you know, as many of us so fortunately got to do, we got to see the fucking shooting without any. I think it was just put up so quickly that the normal trigger warning gods of all of, hi, guess who just came out? Oh, I thought we were going to, someone discovered catnip today. All right, I just took my Adderall. We'll see what happens. But normally the social media gods or whatever that do like the, like, this video is graphic. Would you still like to see it? And honestly, I'm a person that most of the time I'm like, yeah, I would like to see it. Sometimes you're like, yeah, that should, but it just not giving any sort of like consent or warning, right as you're about to fly away. That was really jarring. And I made a quick tweet about being kind and how hard it is to be kind in moments like this. And I still feel that way. And then by the time we landed, and I knew, you know, when we flew away after seeing that video, I was like, there's no way he survived that. I mean, I was gonna say lucky enough, but I was being sarcastic, to see the video, people don't survive from that sort of gunshot wound. And, you know, I'm gonna level with you. That broke me. That day on the internet, the following 48 hours on the internet fucking broke me for various reasons. And I won't allow this MAGA movement in this world to change my heart. I did actually finally hear that where that story came from. It was a man who, he wants to just, oh, fun. Okay. But we can't lay on the keyboard. Oh, he just wants a cuddle. I love this part. He gets up from his nap. It's so hard for me to edit these because I go off on like 48 tangents. I'm like, that's good. Well, that's good. Well, let's take that out. And that's, but yeah, he's so cute when he gets up from a nap. He just wants a little, he's like sleepy and wants a cuddle. And it's very cute. And we might have to stop this because he is laying fully on the keyboard. And that usually does some fun damage, not damage, but we have to start over. But that story I tell a lot about the man who lights the candle and goes up to the Capitol, I heard the full story, and it was the Vietnam War, that a man every night, the Vietnam War, he went up to the Capitol and lit a candle. And, you know, they said, what is this going to change? And he said, I don't light this candle, so I change them. I do it so they don't change me. And I still feel that way. People like Charlie Kirk, when they pass away, it is hard not to move straight to like some sort of celebration. What happened to him was horrific, and I think, you know, it's been said many times. God, it's really hard for me not to do that. Anyways, Merry Christmas. But it's been said many times. What happened to, I don't support what happened to Charlie Kirk, but Charlie Kirk supported what happened to Charlie Kirk. And I do believe, I don't know, I just, the ugliness that came out of it, both in people cheering this on and people like dying on the hill of this man being some saint and great person or a great debater, that like, fuck off, fuck all the way off. And the amount of people that like likened him to like, this like follower of Jesus, and like I'm not a religious person at all, but if Jesus were a real person, which I believe he was, I believe he was probably just a really good person, this is not what he would want his follow, like Charlie Kirk was a terrible human. I do not celebrate that he died. I think gun violence needs to stop now, right now, yesterday, 5 years ago. You know what I mean? But like, I also think the world is a better place without people like Charlie Kirk in it. And I also saw a tweet that was pretty funny that said, I did not think that Charlie Kirk could be more annoying dead than he was alive. And yep, he sure. And so honestly, like, I saw people. This is the too much information, by the way, the political rant that I'll be doing for the next like 5-ish, hopefully only minutes. And then there were people that like celebrated this man and gotten fights on the internet for in the name of this terrible man. They like people I went to high school with, where I'm like, you've posted more about this neo-Nazi who grifted and made a living off of trying to resurrect the Hitler youth. And I don't know if he was resurrecting, if it's already been there, he just like fueled the fire. But like, you're celebrating this man, and you've posted zero about all of the school shootings. Like, this is the I it broke me. I could not stop crying for the next like 4 days. I still am stunned. And I will say, I posted a thing after the Jimmy Kimmel cancellation. Fuck, man, this is fascism. We're in fascism. And I po wrote post that. I said, buckle up, friends. Fascism is here. And two dudes from my high school, one guy who I'm like, every time he sends me like paragraphs, like, I mean, unanswered. Like, I'll see that he messages me and I'll look, and then I see, like, you know, most of it's about the genocide and how it's not a genocide and how it's anti-Semitic that I think it's a genocide. I mean, it's paragraphs, man. And I've never responded to him. I'm like, so when he responded, he was like, how dare you? And was like, how this is not like free speech and blah, 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 cancel culture and all that. And I was like, I'm not, first of all, I'm not reading all that. Second of all, why are you still here? Like, if it weren't for social media, I couldn't pick you out of a lineup. I'll take the engagement and follower, whatever, dude, but like, I'm never gonna respond to you. And I thought, like, and then there was another guy from my high school that, like, I assume listens to me because I do talk a lot about consequence culture. And I'll say this, what happened to Jimmy Kimmel is not consequence or cancel culture. That, like, I just want to, I'm not going to educate or engage with the dipshits I went to high school with. I'm like, listen, I got the same education as you did. I know how bad it was. I know how much I went into the world and I didn't know anything about American history until I looked on it myself and I got uncomfortable. And I deconstructed some deep racism that I didn't even know existed because I wasn't taught any of this stuff. Like, I'm not going to educate or engage with you if you're just. And you know, Jeff May responded to this, the guy who's always messaging me, and was like, "What? How did the government do this? Did like something about the government doing all those other things?" And that's the difference. I'm not going to, and I'm sure if you're a listener of mine, you understand the breakdown of the FCC and why this is so fucking scary. That, and also, I guess in the '90s, like 93 companies owned all of the news media, and now it's five. That should terrify you. And I don't know. I certainly won't be celebrating ever Charlie Kirk Remembrance Day. Are we, what the fuck is happening? There's a gold statue of Donald Trump with holding a Bitcoin outside the White House. I think it's outside the White House or the Capitol. I don't fucking know, but what the fuck is happening? So anyway, I put down social media for a few days. The hardcore racism that was coming out of people, family members that like are we like that like are related to lesbian, like I don't know, I'm stuttering, but like I have family that's gay, and I have family that is not white, and like these people are related to them, and they're like, Charlie Kirk was a saint, and when he goes to heaven, I'm like, I got news for you. Also, I learned something fun. My friend, I was like, I imagine Charlie Kirk will get down to he if heaven and hell exists, Charlie Kirk will certainly be rotting in hell. He was a terrible person and like a racist, transphobic, grifter person, misogynistic. He was terrible. And but like we, what if I was talking to a girlfriend and I was like, man, I bet when he gets down to hell, Satan is going to be like, I don't want him either. And she was like, that's what the like legend is and why bad people take so long to die, because heaven nor hell wants them. Both are like, now we good. And I laughed and laughed and laughed at that. I don't I so I just took some time, and I'm trying to take some more time recently of just like, and I've talked about it a lot this month, like where I want to go, where I want this to go, where I want crawl space to end up, and you know what, that's why I've like created these segments, and you know, my financial goals, my career goals, my spiritual and health goals, all that. I've just been kind of like keeping to myself in the last couple of weeks of just like, and I took the last couple of days off. The reason why this is late, for Patreon subscribers, prescribers, subscriber, right? Sub, yeah. Why do I never know that? I also found out the antithesis meant opposite 2 days ago on an Adam Todd Brown podcast. We all have gaps of knowledge. And he was like, you mean that's the opposite? And I was like, no, it means the same. He's like, no, it means the opposite. And I was like, oh, fuck. That's embarrassing. I've been using that word wrong a lot for many years. Which, no judgment to myself. I think we all can be kinder to ourselves and each other for making mistakes, as long as we're like, hey, I made a mistake, you know. But yeah, I took a breather, and why this didn't come out on Thursday. Honestly, I've just been working nonstop, and yesterday and the day before were the only days I had an extended amount of time off in order to get the flu and the COVID vaccine, the booster, and they fuck me up. I always do them at the same time, and then I'm just out for like 2 days. I can't stop sleeping. I'm achy. I'm just a mess. And I've never Googled it. I'm like, why is this still affecting me so much? And it turns out that there is a, it doesn't happen to everybody, but the people it does, it's just like how your immune system operates. It's just my immune system doing its job. Like they introduce the virus, comes into the body. And then your body starts to fight it. That way it recognizes it. I'm sure most of you already know this. I did not. I just believe science. So I've never been like, I can't, I just, so I'm really just trying to figure out where I want to go from here. I don't know if I have it in me to do this for the next 3.5 years, or however long that fucking guy is our president. And it's not even, I think we're at the point of no return in terms of like, I'm like, I think we're past the cult phase that when their leader dies, the cult dies. I think the cult is its own living organism now, minus the leader. I don't even know. A comic friend of mine posted just an hour ago or so. He said, comic that, oh, that I met once, like he used an air quotes, and he's like, that I met once who opened for me on the road, says, you're really unfriending me over politics. And he's like, the fact that you think the Civil Rights Act is politics is exactly why I don't want you here. It's just a really fucked up, scary time, and there's nothing really, I don't know what we can do except for keep using our voices until they arrest us, you know, like. And I, that might sound dramatic. I don't think it is. But yeah, I was not one of the ones that celebrated Kirk's death, but I do believe that the world is a better place without him here. And I don't really know where else to go with that. I don't want to put people, I am not, I don't put people down who are celebrating it. It's just not who I am. And I don't know how else to say that. I think it's really fucked up that it's like a catalyst to so many things that they wanted to happen. This is, I mean, there's a lot of conspiracies that, like, I mean, think about it. I do sound like a conspiracy theorist, but like that, like while all this was happening, they voted against releasing the Epstein files. Like so many things happened in that 48-hour period that Kirk was murdered, that like we were distracted. And I don't know. I just don't know where I want to go with this because this world is really hard. I don't know. I'm assuming I'm not the only one who feels this way. It's just really ugly and hard. And I don't know what else to say besides that. I will not allow them to change my heart, though. I think I was one of the few that when Trump got COVID, so many people were like, let him die. And I was like, I can't ever wish that. But I do think the world would be a better place when he's gone. And I think that's all I'll say. I did finish the chemtrails. Oh, that's why there's no guest. I was trying to scramble to get it all. And then I was like, I don't want to rush it because I do want to be able to like really interview people. And I just had to take some self-care days. And we'll be continuing that in the next. I am bartending tonight, and then tomorrow I'm bartending tonight for the first time. I haven't seen this woman that I work with, who like I don't know if she listens to this or not, but she like truly hates me and tells everybody that I'm really mean to her, and she's blocked me on everything. And I don't really want to talk about her too much, but I like wonder because she keeps like she says. I mean, like I'm not mean to her at all, by the way. I just don't engage in her bullshit, and that upsets her. Dramatic people, that upsets them when you're not like, tell me more about this drama that has nothing to do with me and I don't give a shit, right? And that's so she'll like yell at me and then like, text me apologizing or come to me and apologize. And like every time I'm like, girl, I literally don't care. And I don't know, I doubt she will, but I hear that she's just telling everybody who'll listen that I'm super mean to her. And I'm like, yeah, yes, I am mean. The type of person you don't like is exactly the type of person I want to be. So I think in October there will be guests. I am a one-man shop and doing my very best. And we're doing it, friends. Oh my God. I did this job the other day where it was like before and after, like some skincare stuff. And I've worked with this company before, and the thing that I really, really don't like about it is that they slick your hair back like the Addicted to Love girls. I only know that because I played an Addicted to Love girl on some ABC Family show like 15 years ago, and they slicked my hair back, and I have this really big like insecurity about my forehead. Like it's like one of my biggest insecurities. And it's not only that, but like they slick your hair back and your hair is fucked forever for a long period of time. And it usually doesn't bother me because usually I go in with kind of dirty hair. So then I just wash my hair that night. But they were like, we need you to come in with clean hair. I'm like, I don't clean my hair that often. So I don't want to waste a clean hair day on this bullshit. And then I was like, all right, well, taking jobs wherever I can right now. Everything is tariffs. I washed my hair. I went in and I asked the woman nicely. She was not a nice person. I was like, do you mind if we like maybe not put too much gel in it? Like it's the pictures are like 6 minutes. Like the water is sufficient enough to like slick your hair back. You don't have to like brush gel in. And I just looked at myself and this was like 3 days ago. And I've washed my bangs incessantly in the last 3 days. And they're still like, I don't know. I'm grateful for work. I'm grateful for work. So this morning, Gus talk or Gus talk, Gus space. Here's some Gus space for you. Lucy is starting to really hiss at him. He is starting to really come out on his own and he just really wants to play with her so badly. And she just wants to sit next to me and let me pet her calmly. We are figuring it out. I am proud of her for hissing. I know that like everything I've read, it's like, yeah, it's just the older cat giving boundaries. He just doesn't understand boundaries. So he is. Oh, he's sound asleep, you guys. He's the, I mean, they're, and, but I think they have a whole secret life under the bed because, like, they don't sleep with me. And I don't, I for a lot, I always think that they're like out in the living room, like doing their thing. And then when I get up and go to the bathroom, they both come out from underneath the bed, like every morning. And I'm like, do they sleep together under there? And nap time during the day, they sleep together under the bed. Like they'll alternate in the window and then they'll both wind up under the bed sleeping next to each other. They're not cuddling, but they're sleeping next to each other. So I think it's going to be fine. Anyway, today I decided to do, I will post the video on their Instagram. It's the Crawl Cats, if you want to follow my cat's Instagram. But I gave him catnip for the first time, and man, it did not disappoint. Henry used to like he loved it, but he would just like he'd roll around in it and then would knock out. And Lucy has just zero interest in the entire thing. She just I don't that cat what I don't know about that cat in her world could fill four warehouses. I have no idea. But she's never been into it. So today I was like, okay, he's old enough to try the catnip. Let's see what happens. And so I put it out and he kind of like smelled it and walked away. And then a few minutes later, he came back and he smelled it again. And then he walked away. And then he came up and he kind of rubbed his head on it and walked away. And then he came up and he looked at me and I just put him on, I put it on his little shelf. And the next thing you know, he fell off the shelf like three or four times, just getting way into it. It was really funny. I gotta change the music because I was listening to this sad. It is so hot, man. I was listening. I wasn't, I don't know. I get into these songs and sometimes they're a bummer, but I think they're really pretty. There's a song, I don't remember who it's by, somebody Lewis, and it's about losing his mom, and it's really pretty. And I happened to be playing it while he was on there. So I didn't realize that it would, I don't know why. I'm a lost generation folk. So sometimes the technology confuses me. Oh boy. All right. So I can't tell which ones we're going to do first. Okay. I think we're going to do Kim Flicks and Chill. Kim Flicks and Chill. Are you ready for this week's Kim Flicks and Chill? I went and got a fan and I love the fan, but sometimes it like, I have sensory stuff and when my hair blows in my face, I have to like decide which is more annoying, like profusely sweating or my hair blowing around in my face. I don't know. I think I'll probably alternate and just be secretly mad. Or openly mad, I guess. So let's do this week's Kim Flicks and Chill. So this week's Kim Flicks and Chill. I did Uncle Buck. First of all, I'll say that this was also a journey in its own. I wasn't sure if I was going to do Uncle Buck or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which, by the way, I thought was also the Naked Gun and whatever that other movie is, Airplane. I thought those three were the exact same movie. I don't know why. I think there's a different guy in all of them. I have no idea. But I was like, oh, okay, they're both John Hughes movies, the Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, and Uncle Buck. Didn't know. Haven't seen either one of them. And so I took to the Instagram and was like, hey, vote which one I should watch for this month's Kim or this week's Kim Flicks and Chill. And it was literally 50-50. There was a little bit that Uncle Buck was winning, and then there was a little bit that Trains, Planes, and Automobiles was winning, and then they were 50 fucking 50. And I was like, oh, that's so annoying. So then I was like, that's not helpful at all. So then I was like, all right, whichever one is the easiest to stream. Then I was on Facebook Messenger, and my dear friend Nicole was like, she had written in all capital letters in response. I don't know if she had voted or not, but in all capital letters, she wrote Uncle Buck. And I was like, there it is. And she goes, I really think you might like it. She's like, her and her partner watch it every year, and it still makes them giggle, and they love it. And you guys, I have to say, I fucking loved it. I fucking loved every minute of it. First of all, Macaulay Culkin was really just like the cutest kid alive, right? Like, I guess I didn't know how cute he was when I was a kid because we were the same age. So I just thought he was another kid. But as an adult, I'm like, that was the most adorable kid alive. I know he like kind of went through a bunch of addiction. My Girl ruined my life. I think My Girl and The NeverEnding Story ruined most of our lives if you grew up in the 90s. Because that, I was trying to explain this to my, I had dinner with my family like 2 weeks, like a week ago in Denver. And I was like, yeah, our generation is sad because the horse died of sadness. And my cousin was like, didn't he die of the quicksand or whatever that tar was they were in? It's like, no, that would have been a much better way for that horse to have died for all of our psyches if it just died in whatever that tar was. But no, it died of sadness. And then also, My Girl. Do you remember My Girl when he dies of bees? Oh, that movie destroyed me. I think why we also all brought it up is that my cousin's kid was watching Fox and the Hound on his iPad during dinner. And I was like, "You're allowing him to see that?" And she's like, "What do you mean? Why?" And I was like, "That movie ruined my life. I will never see that movie again." It devastated me. I mean, I think I just also had like severe abandonment issues as a child anyway, but I think that movie is pretty fucked up. Anyway. Uncle Buck. So Macaulay Culkin's adorable. That other Maisie was adorable. And John Candy? I get it now. I don't think I ever saw any movies with John Candy in them. And I don't think I ever, like, as a kid, I didn't really think he was that funny. So I don't know why I never saw any John Candy movies. He's a fucking delight. That is a real bummer. He died as young as he did. And I know I'm like 30 years late to the party with him dying. I think he died like 20 years ago. I don't know, but man, he was delightful. Teenage girls suck. Especially the cool ones. I was talking about this with on a podcast with Adam Todd Brown the other day. And I was just like, yeah, no matter what era. Teenage, like especially the popular ones, they're just dicks. They're just dicks. And I get it. There's a whole bunch going on and there's all the societal pressure. Like, I understand the psychological reasonings behind teenagers being dicks, like, especially girl teenagers. But man, but it was such a good movie. It was so good. It was like, it was perfectly 80s. No one yelled the F word out of nowhere for zero reason. And then, yeah, it was a perfect movie. No notes. I loved it so much. I did love to, I don't ever remember her real name in real life, but she's Aunt Jackie or Billy Loomis's mom in Scream 2. What is that woman's name? She's a very funny, like, comedic actress. And I know you can tell me, and I'll be like, yeah, that's right. And then I'll forget. Like, that's just information that my brain is like, we don't have enough RAM to retain that. But she was delightful. The girlfriend, the whole thing, 10 out of 10, man. I likely will watch this movie again. I will absolutely watch this movie again. He is a national treasure. Why didn't we hold on to him longer? I mean, I know that there was addiction issues probably because he was a comedian and he also wasn't the most fit guy on the planet. I actually have zero. I'm assuming those are the reasons he passed away. Maybe I don't want to know. I haven't looked that up. Oh, John Candy is a national treasure, man. Oh, he's like the epitome of only the good die young. Epitome, that is the right word, right? I don't think I know words. Everything I know about anything is a lie. Oh, so good. And then the ending, like when the teenager and John Candy like bonded because he only had her best interest at heart with that creepy rapist dude. Like, I loved it. And I loved that he also saved that other girl. Like when she's like, I don't want to do this. And he's like, shh. I'm like, yeah, every boy, man, every dude who's ever done that, put a girl in that position. First of all, we all could use an Uncle Buck in that position. Second of all, every dude in that position should be thrown in a trunk and maybe have a golf ball. The 80s were a weirdly violent movie time too. Just like man, when he was like listening to the niece tell the girlfriend how great he was, and then she that knew he was there listening and she kicked the door and he hid, and then he went back to the door and then she kicked it as hard as she can. I'm like, people don't do that. People aren't like, I'm gonna hurt him as hard as I don't think anyway. I don't know, but oh, 10 out of 10, no notes. And then they were like, we're leaving. And like, they were like, first time they met the girlfriend. And I just wanted an Uncle Buck too, because I wanted to see how, I wanted to see an Uncle Buck as a dad. I loved it. I loved it so much. I can't wait. I don't, I maybe, I think so. November is going to be more John Hughes. So I assume there's going to be more John Candy movies. Oh man, he's a treasure. And I know I'm like decades late to the party on that one, but wow, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I don't really have any shit talking. I liked the ending. It was really nice. It was nice that they bonded. It was nice that he protected her. It was nice that those kids loved him so much. UB is so funny. What's up, UB? And then like she came, just all of it. No fucking notes. It was so good. It was heartwarming. It was funny. Even like, 'cause I'm not a big like slapstick person, so I thought that I wouldn't enjoy it. I thought it was going to be very much like slapstick humor. I saw the Bill Murray movie Stripes, I think, or yeah, I think it's Stripes, a while ago, and it was not a 10 out of 10. It just was the whole movie. It was one-liners, and that's not my humor. I don't find that humor funny at all, but oh, I loved it. So that was your Kim Flicks and Chill. So November, we have wrapped up our November John Hughes month, part one. And you know, John Hughes won me back with this one. He won me back with this one. So I will continue my John Hughes adventure in November. Next month will be Ghostbusters, which I don't think is John Hughes, but I actually don't know. So please, if you're like, it's John Hughes too, I have no idea. I never saw Ghostbusters. I saw the cartoon when I was a kid. I really liked the cartoon. Slimer was a delight. So I can't wait. I did get a couple warnings from a few of you about the puke in some of the Ghostbusters. So I really appreciate you looking out. I loved it. I loved it so much. I loved it. Even in the end, when he like fucked up the whole kitchen and everyone was like, oh, Uncle Buck. Like, it was just very, like, it was wonderful. Every moment of it. All right. Now let's get into the chemtrails, shall we? So let's do the final. Man, I went down a really wild rabbit hole. And first of all, okay. So chemtrails, first of all, Prince believed in chemtrails and actually wrote the song Dreamer off of that conspiracy theory. And there was an activist comedian named Dick Gregory who was pretty convinced the government killed Prince because he knew about chemtrails. And Prince thought, you know, I always thought they were really weird, those clouds that the planes and the jets were creating. And so I started really observing them as a child. What a weird dude. You know what I mean? I mean, like, no shade on Prince, but just a very interesting, one of a kind man. This interview, he was like, yeah, I started watching the behavior of everyone around me when planes would fly over and these chemtrails would like follow them. And he was like, out of nowhere, neighborhood kids would start fighting. I don't know, the 80s and the 90s were a very differently violent time. Like it was like you fought people. Like there was like fights every day in the playground. I honestly don't know if that still happens in the world because I haven't been in elementary school in a very long time, but like he was, it's like, do you think that maybe that was just a coincidence? So I was looking at what a chemtrail is, like literally what it is. So it's a cloud. It's basically condensation. It's a what is it called? I have all these notes and they're not great. My brain is like bees and they're not. Although, so I did an event where one of my bosses was worked with me and he's never seen me host. And I was really nervous. I was super nervous about the whole thing. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm very nervous. I'm like, you basically wrote this event, and I am a person that gets a lot of these events. And what if I like fuck up? And you're like, oh, maybe she's not that great of a host. And you know, at the end I asked for notes and he, you know, said great things, but then he was like, it was very chaotic, but charming. He's like kind, and I was like, that's kind of who I am. I'm chaotic and charming. I love that. Maybe that's the name of my next, chaotic and charming. So yeah, these notes, they're all over the place. So please, please forgive me. So they're created. They are, what are they called? What are they called? Contrails, condensation trails. So it's basically like they're like the heat of the engine flying through the sky that's like very, very cold. It creates basically clouds. It's basically just condensation. And so the conspiracy theory, much like Prince and the guy, Dick Gregory, who thought they killed Prince over this, when Prince really just died of a fentanyl overdose. But then he also, and he there was also some stories that that guy like kind of, he was like, he died on a plane, he died off a plane. It was a whole thing. Basically, what they think is, here's this they think it's sterilizing people. And that's the other thing with this conspiracy, why it's been so debunked, like widely debunked. They can't agree on what these chemtrails do. That's either sterilizing people, mind control, shortening life expectancy, or weather control, which we'll get into in a second. Wow, I'm really like really locked in. Okay. So basically, like a lot of people are like, the why it's so widely debunked. One is that even if the government or whoever you think is releasing these, wouldn't they be exposed to it too? And then the second thing is if somehow they're not exposed to it, somehow they're able to just get the general population, not they who are releasing these chemtrails out in the air. It's not only that, but like the one thing that we've learned definitely with capitalism in the last couple of years, and even Fox News figured that out when they stopped telling their audience to not get vaccinated because they were killing off their own audience. Humans are resources, especially to the rich and powerful. If you I mean, mind control, maybe, but if you sterilize us or you shorten our life expectancies, that is a resource that you will lose. If you sterilize us, we won't have more children for your worker factory, right? So that went away. Even if they could avoid it, essentially making people, but yeah, they're the money maker. Okay, so where a lot of this, so I thought it came from, so the weather control situation is kind of real, I think. Well, it is. It's called oh God, this is my first time writing notes and going in here and like writing notes and then like reading them myself on a podcast, and it's gonna be a little clunky for the first couple of months, and then I'll get a swing of it. So there is something called cloud seeding, which is basically a weather controlled situation where they're able to, let me I so many notes, so many notes. So we're just gonna say, what is cloud? And then it'll tell you. Weather modification technique that introduces sliver I don't know, or other particles, something I can't read, or other particles into clouds, stimulating precipitation such as rain and snow. So then I was like, that's kind of weird. Why wouldn't we just do that if, especially like in California when there's such a drought and our fire season, if we're able to do that? So you cannot do that. You can't do cloud seeding if the sky is clear. You can only do it if there's clouds and you pump more moisture into the cloud and it makes it. But there is something called, and it's actually like, it's not fully legal. It's just like heavily regulated now. There was a couple legislations that were trying to be introduced in the Arizona laws this year by Republicans. I don't know. I was watching a Republican talk about chemtrails, just very seriously introducing a law, and I'm like, how is that side so dumb? And I know I'm trying not to be the us or them, but my God, it's very hard not to be sometimes. This guy was like, yeah, they are putting these chemicals inside, and that's been widely debunked, right? Like scientists and third parties have like tested these quote chemtrails when really they're just condensation. But during the Vietnam War, something called Operation Popeye happened from 1967 to 1972, and the goal was to extend the monsoon season so there would be more rainfall, and it would muddy up and fuck up these roads that were basically like a place, a route that North Vietnamese forces were getting supplies from. Like they would muddy up the trail, and by making the roads muddy and creating floods, the operation aimed to disrupt the enemy and logistics, their movement and their logistics. So the problem involved dispersing. Okay, we don't have to do that. And what happened afterwards, people were kind of pissed when they found out after it. So then there was an environmental modification treaty in 1977 in response to the fallout from Operation Popeye. They don't teach us anything. And by the way, I know nothing of the Vietnam War, literally nothing. I think I need to just start watching documentaries about all the wars we've been in. I just am really pretty disheartened by the US more. The more I learn about our history, the more I'm like, man, we are the empire. We are the bad guys. And so, but in 1977, in response to this operation, the fallout of the Operation Popeye and other environmental weaponization concerns, the US joined other nations in signing a treaty that prohibits the use of environmental modification techniques in warfare. Wild. And actually, people didn't start really caring about chemtrails, because like, I was like, oh, that must have been when chemtrails. The first conspiracy theory, not at all. The conspiracy theory, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, was the mid-1990s, and it was fueled by misinterpretations of persistent aircraft condensation, the contrails, by the U.S. Air Force. Let's see. A speculation paper titled Weather as a Force Manipulator, Owning the Weather in 2025, which is wild because this was written in 1996. It was published by the U.S. Air Force. By the U.S. Air Force Air University, although the document was an academic exercise and stated that it does not reflect current military policy practice or capability, it seizes upon by early theorists of proof of military plans for weather modification. By the way, they did that already in the in Vietnam War. I don't understand why this is like, yeah, and then we entered a treaty that we wouldn't do that anymore. Also, it's kind of funny that they were like, well, we'll just cause a mudslide. Although I don't know if I've ever told you guys about this. So one of the things I do for my guacamole job is that we do museum tours. They do way more on the East Coast because there's way more museums on the East Coast, unfortunately. I wish we had more, but we do have one in San Francisco that we do. We haven't done in a while, but there was an artist. Oh my God, I tell this story all the time. Why can't I remember it? E. Kelly, E. something Kelly. He's like a he's, you know, he's nothing that he was involved in has anything to do with his art now, right? But in World War II, he was a part of the Ghost Army. I tell the story in front of lots and lots of people, but I haven't told it in like a year. But it's called the Ghost Army, and basically, it's an army. It was an army in World War II, made up of around 1,100 artists, and their job was to make big military shaped balloons and generals, and basically like make a whole encampment. And so they would make a whole encampment, big crazy balloons. There's these, look up the pictures. They are so lifelike and real. And so the goal with it is that they would send word to German forces that this huge US encampment was nearby, and US and German forces would like get all their gear ready and like start heading towards this encampment to attack it. And they would have about 20 minutes to shut everything down, like Burning Man style, where it was like everything that goes in, everything goes out. So then the German forces would show up and there would just be an empty lot. And so same with this, like this mudslide route in the Vietnam War. You're kind of like, well, what would that have to it waste so much resources. So historians have looked back on the Ghost Army and it said that it has saved their efforts, probably saved around 30,000 American lives because it wasted so much of the German forces' resources. And why we weren't taught that, or why you weren't taught that, I know I wasn't taught that because I didn't go to a very good public school who didn't teach us, they didn't teach us much at all. But that shit wasn't declassified until like 1996. So like for like 50 years, nobody could tell any, like they won some Medal of Honor too in 2002 or 2022. I should know all of this because I do say, but that's what this reminds me of that they were, but chemtrails, they're just widely debunked. Internet theorists, the initial chemtrail theories were circulated on the internet forums by individuals such as, it doesn't matter. A former airline, I'm doing the research now as I'm here, sorry, began investigating after viewing video footage of jets flying in parallel patterns and concluded the trails were secretly dispersing chemicals. Oh, somebody is joining us. Somebody is, come on over. Oh, but I don't, you can't climb up on the desk. To be fair, the desk is sort of where he lays when I'm not at the desk. So he's like, that's my area, Mom. Oh, he's so sweet, you guys. I can't wait until he and Lucy cuddle. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think the closest they'll come to cuddling is their under the bed secret time. Maybe they do cuddle under there. So I don't know. The more I'm reading about this, the more I am a person that will believe almost any conspiracy theory. And I do not think it is above the government to drug us, to do things for mind control and population control. I don't think that the US government or any governments are like above doing that. I just don't think they are because I don't think there's technology to do it yet. Thank God. Hopefully when the day we're able to really control the weather, hopefully the day that's the day the humans wrap it up, right? So that has been your first conspiracy theory, chemtrails. I'm gonna pick one that I'm more interested in next month because the thing is once I got into the whole Prince thing today and Operation Popeye, I was like super excited and locked in, and then it turns out Prince just was a crazy conspiracy theorist, and Operation Popeye had zero to do with the birth of the chemtrail conspiracy theory, which is very stupid because they actually did do some weather modification shit, cloud seeding during the Vietnam War, and then we're not allowed to do that anymore. Also, there's tons of things that we aren't allowed to do anymore, like look at what's happening in Palestine. Okay, we don't need to eat everything though. He just puts everything in his mouth, every little thing in his mouth. And it is such a joy and not scary at all. I mean, the amount of times during, I am hoping to get a new cat tree that is much taller for him and much more, because he's a much more, he's a bigger climber than Lucy and Henry were, like than Lucy is and Henry was. I think he needs more stimulation, so we are going to get him a couple of more things. I'm like, you have 1,000 toys, but no, he's perfect. He's so perfect, you guys. And me being under the weather the last couple of days, he's just been very cuddly, not a pain in the ass really at all. Now he really wants to be up in here. So I'm going to pick a conspiracy theory that I'm much more interested in. I have a problem that if I don't care about something, I will just be like, all right, well, we'll look at this up. And everything I've read about it, I'm like, yeah, this is truly, but I do like, so I emailed myself a link about chemtrails and the poop scoop BuzzFeed that I've been reading off of for the last couple of months, weeks. I don't know. Time isn't real. And I forgot that I did this, but the subject was chemtrails and poop scoop. Chemtrails and poop scoops. And I think that is going to be this week's title, because that is very, very funny to me. That made me laugh out loud. I'm like, I don't remember doing that, but that was very funny. So let's, oh, he's only interested if he can be up here. Okay. Are you guys ready for your poop scoop? I did have other things I wanted to talk about before we got into the poop scoop. A bar I used to work at has been coming up more and more lately. I worked at this bar, ouch. I worked at this bar for a few days in 2020, after the lockdowns, before the vaccine. And it was under the same umbrella as Big Wings. And I worked there. I mean, I ended up working at one of their other bars, which I was really grateful for until I got COVID. That was kind of shitty. So I worked at this bar and I was talking to this girl. Did I already tell you guys this? Or I was talking to this girl and how, yeah, I think I did. Because I also still have Mask Girl and how she was in prison written down. And you guys, I think about it a lot. That is what you do when you're in prison. If somebody's bullying you, it's the same thing that you're taught as a girl in the world on like on self-defense. You just have to like, there is a, if you've never seen it, go to SNL, look up SNL, Welcome to Hell. It's a music video that happened right after Me Too broke. And it's so good. I've probably quoted it 400 times in this podcast in the last couple of years, because it's so fucking good. Because it's just about like, it's like, so there is one part where Cicely Strong goes, when somebody's following me, I do this. And then she puts her head in her arm and spins around and goes, ah, that way I look like I'm too much trouble. And we were literally taught that in self-defense classes, girls. If you see a predator coming at you, like start eating grass or pee your pants or do something, because you don't want to look like you're too much trouble. I don't remember why I was telling you that. I got a lot going on in my brain right now. Anybody else? I just feel like your to-do list is 100 miles long. Yeah, and so much is happening right now. And I don't know. I hope you're being kind to yourselves. None of this is normal. And I fear it's just the beginning. And I also, the party that's like screaming about cancel culture now is being like, well, Obama forced the ABC to take Roseanne off the air. I cannot have conversations with people like this. It is so dumb. It's like, well, actually, Obama wasn't the president in 2018. And cancel culture is a collective pushback from society, not FCC. I don't know. I really hope. I too am trying to fill my cup. I realize I have a lot of social obligations that I am cutting way back on, so I can spend some more time just with myself, touching grass, figuring out where I want to go, what I want to do. And it really hurts when you bite me. It really hurts. It hurts so much. I know, I know. He doesn't bite anybody else. He bites me. And I think it's like a mom thing. I don't, or maybe he, I don't know. Like he'll just be walking by me. He's always by my feet, right? He's always by my feet. And like in the morning when I, or in the middle of the night when I go to the bathroom and he's under the bed, which is where I guess he and Lucy sleep. I'll go to the bathroom and I have all the lights off because you don't want to turn on the lights to wake yourself up. It's the middle of the night, it's 3 in the morning. And all of a sudden, I'll just feel these like fur, this furry body next to my feet. And he'll just lay right down and he'll lay down and then he'll just casually bite my ankle hard and then lay back down. And I'm like, why? What is that? All right. But yeah, genuinely, I really hope you're all taking care of yourselves. None of this is normal. How you're feeling is valid. I'm working on getting out of just like survival mode. That's just how I've felt, almost since January, since this hell has began. Like I just, it's really difficult. And so I hope everyone is being kind to themselves and, doing what you can. And mine is my social battery is sort of at its max and my like commitments are sort of at its max. And so I'm just taking a massive step back. I recorded with Maggie Mayfield this morning. So Patreon subscribers, you'll be getting that any day now. She'll be sending it probably to me today. She's running a triathlon tomorrow. So I don't want to be like, hey, can you send that to me? You're about a fucking triathlon. And that's the I'm one lucky broad. I'm one lucky broad that I have women like that in my life. Like this woman is, oh God, he is as high up as he can be. He's crouched down and he looks like he's ready. He's looking around the room to what can I jump on? Oh, he settled on outside. Thank God. He's a demon. He's a lovely, lovely demon. I think Lucy loves him too, because if she didn't, I think she'd be more violent with him. She just sets boundaries. But I'm one lucky broad that I have people like Maggie Mayfield in my life and another and a handful of women and raw, men too, but I have a handful of women that are just fucking badasses that, like, if you were to tell me when I was a little girl, you're going to grow up to be friends with these like incredibly amazing women that run tri that do triathlons, not run. It's like 12 miles on a bike, 400 meter swim, and 3 miles run. Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, she's like, yeah, I was like, what do you do the day before? And she goes, oh, I just ran like a short run this morning. I just did a mile. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm at running a mile right now. But I'm one lucky broad that I have some really, a really solid community around me, especially right now. It's, times are scary, friends. So just be kind to yourself. Shall we get through this poop scoop? Let's get through this list, shall we? We're going to read two today. So this is BuzzFeed's top 50 of the most hilarious poop stories you'll ever hear. I don't know. I wouldn't say the most hilarious. I mean, I think I said this last week, so it's not that funny. I crap better stories than this, but that's an angel quote. And I crap better magic than that. I definitely said that last week. Sometimes you're like, I'm just as far in as I'll ever be out. Okay. We're at number 15, I think. The last one looked kind of familiar, but it was kind of boring. So I don't know. Okay. Number 15, the exploding toilet. I was on a flight and had to use the bathroom. 5 days worth of spicy Costa Rican food came shooting out of me, filling the toilet nearly to the brim. That is a lot of poop. I've done that before. And you're like, I don't know how that's going down. If you look at most airplane toilets, there's a picture telling you to close the lid prior to flushing. I did not need this warning. I did not heed this warning. What? I flushed and suddenly found myself covered in diarrhea. First of all, I fly a lot. I don't think I've ever seen that sign, and I don't know if I've ever done that. Shut the lid before. It was as if a bomb exploded in the bowl. There was diarrhea on the ceiling, on every wall, all over me. I did my best to clean it up, but I could not hide the stench when I returned to my seat. All right, that one's pretty good. He's really into a lampshade now. He's decided the lampshade is his pal. He's going to give me a heart attack. That one was really good. I've never had diarrhea like that on a plane. I had like a quick weird food poisoning diarrhea on the way to Texas once, and I was going to throw up and poop at the same time, like the weird food poisoning. And the seatbelt sign was off. And I was like, I have no option. So I like ran and I threw up as soon as I like opened the toilet and shut the door. Like I puked. And then I sat down in diarrhea. And then a woman like yelled in and was like, "Ma'am, the fasten seatbelt sign is on. You need to be in your seat." And I'm like, "Do you think I just came in here during the turbulence, during all of this, if it wasn't a full-blown emergency? Like what I'm doing now, if I did that at my seat, would have brought up a whole new set of problems, ma'am." But I've never had all over yourself. Like, what do you do? What do you do? Because there's like the towels and the towel, paper towel, toilet paper situation in the bathroom and the airplanes are not ideal for having diarrhea all over you. Man, that one's a good one. That's a rough one. We'll go 16. These party poopers. My family and I were stuck in bumper to bumper traffic. I had eaten Denny's that morning and all of a sudden I didn't feel right. Is Denny's a culprit for giving you diarrhea? I don't know. I haven't had Denny's in years. We were in a residential area, so with no bathroom in sight, I saw a house for sale and scrambled to the backyard where I had the worst diarrhea of my life. My mom later joined me as she had the same what? The same breakfast plate as well. As I was relieving myself, a realtor came out back and asked what I thought of the property. What? This story has to be made up. 'Cause it's like, so you and your mom were dual shitting in the backyard of some empty house, and then as you were relieving yourself, the realtor came out and casually said, "Do you like the property?" No, she probably, so you probably were done. As I was relieving myself, a realtor came back and asked what I thought of the property. Nope, that didn't happen. Are all these alive then? Because maybe she just meant afterwards. I don't know why I made all these people girls. I think just because girls would send into this and be like, "I'm embarrassed," and dudes were, have never been taught to be horrified of their bodily functions. But like, yeah. So you and your mom dual pooped. You were dump buddies, and then a realtor came out while you were dump buddying and was like, "Hey, what do you think of this whole thing?" And you were like, "Excuse me, ma'am, we are shitting in the yard because Denny's does this to us. Does Denny's do that? We'll do one more." This worst nightmare. I worked in the ice cream shop of a small amusement park. I was weirdly gassy, but was chilling because I was alone. So like letting it go as needed. God, those are the best days. It started to get bad, in all caps. As I opened the window to hand a cone to a customer, I lost control of my butt muscles. Butt muscles. I instinctively grabbed the stranger's hands. Okay, maybe they get better as we go on. Maybe that's why the 50th will be a good one, because these are getting good. I instinctively grabbed the stranger's hand as I shit my pants. What? This was years ago, so I had to use the walkie-talkie to scream for backup. My boss ran over to the shop and asked what was wrong. I slid down the wall with tears in my eyes and quietly said, "I fucking shit my pants, dude. Why did you grab the stranger's hands? Were you making like intense eye contact? Did you later tell them I shit my pants?" Like, what? Oh, so good. Sorry, that loud noise in the background. I have a cat that really just desperately wants to lay on this keyboard so bad. It's all he wants. He's like, he went to the lampshade. I didn't care. I have a mini Henry on my hands because Henry used to do that too. Henry would be like, "What can I do to get her to give me attention?" And it'll piss her off. And now I know when he's doing, oh, it's really good. So that's your poop scoop. Send me your poop scoops, kimcrawlspace@gmail.com. It will be a minute because we're only at 17 and I want to get to all 50. And those last two were pretty good, even though one of them I think was kind of made up. If not, maybe they just weren't very good. Like, because there's no way the realtor would come out and be like, "What the fuck?" The realtor wouldn't be like, "Hello, ma'am. Are you breaking in the house? This is what you guys do when you go look at houses, you shit in the backyard together." Like that. No. I mean, maybe they were walking out, but she said, as I was relieving myself. I have a cactus on my desk that he just wants. He doesn't dislike it. He just like pokes, it hurts him, and then he forgets immediately 10 minutes later after he chews on more stuff. Stop. Yeah, maybe they just meant that they came out from behind the bush. Did they do separate bushes? Like if I'm like diarrheaing all over some backyard and my mom, not my mom, but friend, right, comes back there and is like, I have to do it too. Wouldn't you be like, are we going to do this next to each other? What are we going to use to wipe? We are never going to talk about this again. You certainly are doing it in the open yard. So they probably like walked out and then they were probably like, what do you think of the property? And you're like, don't go back there. I pooped all over everything. And it was Denny's poop. Denny's has never done that to me. I'll be thinking about that for a while. All right, friends, that is the episode. That is the episode. Thank you. Thank you for being here every week. The world is on fire and I appreciate the like community and oh my God, he is biting me again. I appreciate you guys being here every week. I makes me feel less alone. This the one of the big goals, I guess, that they say of fascism, especially at the beginning of it, is to isolate you and get you to feel like you're all alone. And we're not. None of this is normal. Most people are terrified. And the people that are doing mental gymnastics, first of all, Kash Patel wrote a children's book a while ago about how the evil Hillary Clinton, I don't know, I gotta look more into it. I was half asleep and a little high going to bed last night when I was watching TikTok. And on the government, like the Senate floor, maybe while they're like interrogating him about everything. I don't exactly know what hearing it was, but the guy was like, you're not, I mean, a lot of them have been really, really roasting Kash Patel lately, which has been really fun. But they're like, you're not, you wrote this weird children's book where Donald Trump was the king and you were the jester trying to find justice and fight against the evil serpent Hillary. Like, that is a real thing that is out there. What is happening? I feel like I end every week episode like this. Oh my God, I'm having deja vu. And it either means it's real deja vu or I end every week like this where I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So say, I don't know. That's the episode. If you want to be a Patreon subscriber, I appreciate you. That audiobook is so fucking close, man. It's so close. Every month, I promise. By the end of the year, at the very least, hopefully it'll be out by then. But I'm hoping in the next few days it'll be all done. It's just a lot of work, and I know nobody's like waiting on the edge of their seat for this thing. But if you are, know that it's coming out. But if you want to become a Patreon subscriber, you know the drill. Go to patreon.com/KimCrawl. You get early episode access. You get Do You Even Lift Up, Babe? You get a little mailing. If you are a recent member, recent member, check your mailbox pretty soon and your email this weekend. I had to take a breather from everything. This Charlie Kirk stuff really fucked me up. Not really him, but just the reaction of the world. I never thought that that guy dying would have such an effect on my fucking mental health, but here we are. So thank you. Thank you for being here every week. And thank you, Patreon subscribers, for supporting in that way. And if you're able to and you're not, I would love it if you could. If you can't, totally get it. The world's on fire, tariffs. That's it. That's the episode. Thanks, everyone. And Uncle Buck, man. Fucking Uncle Buck. I think we all could have used an Uncle Buck. I like to think of myself as all of my little nieces and nephews, Uncle Buck, with no cigar and a job. But I fucking love that movie. All right. I love you all. I hope you're staying safe. Be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Talk to you soon. Bye.